Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson in 1 Samuel. So open your Bibles there if you have them, and remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table, and we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Well, over the past couple of days, we've seen the Ark go sightseeing around Philistine territory. We've seen the Philistines send the Ark back to the people of Israel. We've seen the people of Israel, who should have known better, disobey again and touch the Ark and try to peer into it, and the resulting loss of life. And today we're going to see what happens with the Ark next. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 through 6. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all of Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. For 20 years the ark stays put. Why does the ark stay put? Because the Israelites, even after having the ark returned to them, even after having men from Beth Shemesh killed because of their irreverent curiosity, still ignored God. How do I know this? Because they are told by Samuel to destroy their Ashtoreths and put away their Baals. Ashtoreths were false idols. Ashtoreth was the goddess of love, fertility, and war, and Baal was also a false god. Ashtoreth was his female consort, and Baal was considered to have several different roles, including god of the storm, god of fertility, god of creation, and the god of justice. Seriously? The Israelites watched the ark wander back into their camp after they treated the ark like a good luck charm in battle, a battle that lost them 34,000 of their people, and Eli and his sons. It took them 20 years before they were ready to mourn, repent, and seek God. That's horrifying to me. After all they had seen and done, and they still didn't repent. I wonder if they thought that God returned the ark because he was happy with them. Instead of seeing the ark coming and repenting and changing, they saw the ark possibly as a confirmation of their current state, and they didn't see a reason to change. However, no matter how long it took them, the important part is that they did seek God. They didn't seek him right away. This wasn't a case of them mourning for 20 years. This was a case of them, at the end of 20 years, realizing that they needed God, that the idols that they worshipped weren't working. And finally, they mourned and they sought him, and Samuel tells them exactly what has to happen. They need to get rid of the false idols and the superstitious trinkets they have collected for themselves and give their hearts to God and serve him only. Not him and the Baals, not him and the Ashtoreths, just God. And to their credit, the Israelites put away their false idols and focus on God. Notice, however, that they didn't destroy those idols. They put them away, but they weren't destroyed. And that's going to come back later on. But they do put them away, and they serve him only. Only after seeing that they had put those idols away, did Samuel agree to intercede for the Israelites. Part of the offering that they bring to the Lord is water. Interesting. This is the only place in the Old Testament where this is mentioned as an offering. It appears to have signified the pouring out of their hearts in repentance and humility before the Lord. That is, as the water is poured out before the Lord, so too is our humiliation and shame. Basically, they're laying all their cards on the table and not holding anything back. Along with this offering, this ceremony, the Israelites fasted and confessed their sins to God. They knew they had messed up, they knew they had disobeyed, and they were ready to own up to it. How sad that it took them 20 years to be ready for that, but how wonderful that they finally did! Ladies, things haven't changed much since the time of Samuel. We still do this. We still have our idols, and we still worship them above our Father. Think I'm kidding? Ask yourself, what percentage of a given day do you spend thinking about money? Thinking about your family, your friends, work, your house, errands? Now, what percentage of each day do you spend time with and thinking about God? I know that for most of us, God gets only not only the smallest portion of the day, but the afterthought portion. Not the first fruits of our day, but the last fruits. You know what I mean. You spend 5 minutes reading the Bible right before you go to bed, but you aren't really meditating on His Word. You're just reading the words to say you did it. Or you spend a few minutes in the morning reading the Bible, but your mind is really focused on what time it is and what is on your agenda for the day and when you need to leave the house. We are so much like Cain. We still don't offer God the first fruits of our time, our abilities, or our money. We still offer Him whatever's left. Remember how Eli's sons took the offerings hostage so they could get the best portion of meat offered? We still do that. We forget that our only true freedom is in Him, not in ourselves. As Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, and then verses 15 through 18 say, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." So, my question for us today is this. Are you putting those things in your life ahead of God? What things are they that are coming in place of God or before God? Is it the television? Social media? I've talked to people who insist that their lives are so busy they just don't have time to sit down and really dig into God's Word. That's why they need to have a wise teacher that they can trust because they're not going to check for themselves. Then I see them post on Facebook how they can't wait for the season premiere of their favorite show. And it grieves my heart that they will willingly spend an hour worshiping in front of the television, but they can't find 10 minutes to talk to the God of the universe? Isn't it time to put away our Baals and destroy the Ashtoreths in our lives? God wants to be part of everything in our life. He wants us to put Him first so He can show us the things that He has planned for us and the ways in which He can and will enrich every aspect of our lives. But we have to be willing to give it all to Him first, not just whatever's left over. It can't be, I have this part of my life that I give to God and everything else is mine. That's not a sacrifice. That's not God as your Savior. That's not Christ as your Savior and God is the King of your life. It's time to destroy the idols that we hold on to.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.